Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
The book of Revelation may be one of the least read books of the New Testament. People sometimes don't read it because either they don't understand it or they may get scared when they read it. But the book of Revelation is an amazing book. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. We're going to be talking about the book of Revelation on this Covenant Journey Bible podcast. The book of Revelation is what's called an apocalyptic book. It is a book that uses symbols. In fact, the very first word in Greek in Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 1, is apokalypsis, which is the revelation, and it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is both in Greek a revelation of or about Jesus Christ, but it's also a revelation from or originating from Jesus Christ. He is giving the revelation, but it is a revelation about Him. And if it's a revelation about Him, as the very first three words of Revelation 1:1 actually say, then why are people reluctant to read it? Because it is really a revelation about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, it begins in the very first chapter, focusing on Jesus Christ, and the very last chapter focuses on Jesus Christ and everything in between as well. If you were to take the book of Revelation and make it into a dramatic play, it would be incredible because there is this up and down motif, a heaven and earth or an earth and heaven motif. It goes from earth to heaven to earth to heaven, earth to heaven, and back and forth until you get to chapters 21 through the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And it is a combination of heaven and earth. It is heaven on earth. It is a new Jerusalem, a new creation. There's no longer any sun. There's no longer any moon. There's no longer any death. There's no longer any tears or sorrow. All of that has passed away. There's no need for the sun because the presence of our Lord gives the light. There's no need for this created sun or the evening moon that we now know in our existing world. So it is an amazing book. We won't go through all of the different segments of up and down, but here's a general idea of how it actually begins. The first part of it is the curtain opens up, and what you have happen is a vision of what's happening on earth. Let me begin with chapter 1, verse 1. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his servants the things which must happen soon, which he sent and made known by his angel to his servant John, verse 2, who testified to God's word and to the testimony of Jesus Christ about everything he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and keep the things that are written in it, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven assemblies or churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from God, who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and washed us from our sins by his blood. And he's made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It's amazing as we begin this first chapter because it is a description of Jesus Christ. It is a blessing for those who actually read and those who actually hear the words and then keep them. So instead of shying away from the book of Revelation, we ought to immerse ourselves into the book of Revelation because it literally is a revelation about Jesus Christ. The scene on earth, the first curtain, if you will, begins on earth, and it begins with this narrative introduction. And you can just imagine the voice coming over the audience as this narrative is ultimately read. Chapter 2 begins with the first of the seven churches, and chapter 3 then continues with the rest of the seven churches. This was a letter that John wrote, and it was read from church to church to church, the very seven churches that are in Asia, all having different characteristics, some pros, some cons, some blessings, some admonitions for some of their shortfallings. All of the different churches heard what the revelation was and what was being described about their situation in the other six churches as they were having this read and they were reading it in their congregations. So we begin with the introduction of who this is about and what this is about, the central figure, Jesus Christ. Then it focuses on the actual churches in Asia. And those characteristics certainly can be seen in churches throughout the world, throughout history. But then chapter 4 and then chapter 5, the curtain shuts when you finish the first seven churches at the end of chapters 2 and 3. That's the earthly scene. The heavenly scene begins in chapters 4 and 5. The curtain shuts, and then the stage is reset, and now there is a scene where you are transported into heaven from this earth. No longer the seven churches are being focused upon, but instead the central core issue of Revelation is being discussed. Chapter 4 is this Lamb who's sitting on the throne, the Lamb who is there on the throne. And this Lamb appeared as though he had been slaughtered, that he had been slain, he had been wounded, but he is alive, and he's sitting on the throne. Of course, that Lamb is a picture of Jesus Christ and his crucifixion and his death, burial, and resurrection. But then there is this book that ultimately is presented. It's a scroll, and the scroll is what's called an epistograph. It is so chock full of information that in the unusual situation, which you don't usually see unless you don't have any space, but you have more words to add, you write on one side of the scroll and write on the other side of the scroll. So when the scroll is rolled up, you see writing on the outside. Most of the scrolls that you see, you don't see writing on the outside because they're only written on one side. But what we're seeing in Revelation 4 is so full of information that it's written on both sides. It's an epistograph. But that scroll has seven seals on it. And nobody was found worthy to open that scroll. Why is that so important? Because chapter 4 and 5 speak about our future destiny is contained in that scroll. And so John weeps. No one is worthy to even lift the first seal to begin to open that scroll so that future world history is unfolded and our lives are contained inside that future history. But then it says, no, there is one, and it is the Lamb of God, the one who was slain. He alone is worthy to open those seals. And so he then begins the process of opening the seals. It's an amazing picture of our history, our destiny, being wrapped up in the person and the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he alone, only alone, is worthy to be able to open that history, and we are contained in that history. That's your heavenly scene. It's an amazing scene. And then the curtain closes again. And I'm not going to go through all of these, but the curtain closes here. And the stage is reset again. And chapters 6, verses 1 through 17, is the earthly scene, the earthly scene. And what happens is each one of these seals is removed before the scroll is even opened. And for each one of these seals, certain events happen on earth. Until you get to the seal number 6. Seal number 6. And when you get to seal number 6, things are so difficult as things progressively get difficult. And this is probably why people don't read it, because they stop when things get difficult. But seal number six is a situation where those who have rejected continually God, they cry out for the truth to be hidden, for the rocks and to fall on them so that they would be hidden from the face of the Lamb. And they ultimately raise this question, who shall be able to stand? And you can imagine the drama when that echoes through the auditorium. And that's the question. And the curtain closes on that earthly scene. And now there's a pause, and it's chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. Chapter 7 says, this is the answer to that question that come out of the seals, particularly the sixth seal. Who will be able to stand? Chapter 7 answers that question. First of all, there's the 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. They have the seal of God. But then there's this greater group of people, innumerable number of people. These are the non-Jews, the Gentiles. These would be people who are not part of the 12 tribes of Israel. These individuals are also sealed. These are people who followed the Lamb. All of these people are those that follow the Lamb and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and they ultimately are faithful to our Lord. They have the seal of God. Those are the ones, it says, chapter 7, will be able to stand in answering to that question about the sixth seal and that agony coming out of there, who shall be able to stand? Well, then what happens when that pause is done? You have another scene that takes place, and this is back up in heaven, chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. The seals continually become open, and then what happens is more things happen as we continue to move through chapter 8 and through the rest of the book of Revelation. You can obtain this outline that I have of this up and down theme. We're not going to cover the whole up and down theme, but you get the idea. Putting this in a dramatic play would really illustrate what I'm talking about. Why is it written this way? Well, it's written, first of all, because chapter 1 says it's a revelation of and about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the central figure in the book of Revelation, a revelation of and a revelation about, a revelation from our Lord Jesus Christ. He's at the beginning, he's at the end, he's in the middle. It says that he was, he is, and he is to come. In verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. So he is beginning, end, and everything in between. So he is the one being revealed in the book of Revelation. And the future is held in his hands. Your destiny is in his hands. So the real situation about the book of Revelation, I'm not going to go in and settle all the interpretations as we walk through the book of Revelation. I'm not going to take different positions about this means that or that means this, unless the Bible specifically says so. And there's multiple places where the Bible says the certain symbols mean certain things. For example, at the end of Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, it actually tells you what these symbols mean. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. So in parts of this book, it'll tell you exactly what these symbols mean. In other parts, it's not so much clear. I'm not going to settle all those debates. What I want to do is give you a fresh look at the book of Revelation. While the details contained therein are very important, the reader will get an even greater appreciation of the central message by considering this larger view as you're working your way chapter by chapter. The book is filled with drama and punctuated by pauses that point the reader to heaven. And what happens is whenever things on earth become progressively more hostile, the book takes a pause, or it lifts your view back up to heaven, where Jesus is the central figure again. And again, the reader is assured all is well. God is control. He has everything under control. He knows the beginning from the end. And he's with you even when times get difficult. And don't worry, he has your back. You are one of those people who are a follower of Jesus. There is nothing to be afraid. As Jesus often told his disciples, fear not, little flock. I encourage you to dive into the book of Revelation, begin to look at this from more of a macro view as you dive through bit by bit by bit, because the central figure, as I said, is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you want to obtain this outline of this up and down motif that I have all the way through the book of Revelation, you can go to covenantjourney.org, that's covenantjourney.org, and go to our resources page. There we have a lot of resources on the Bible, on Bible studies, and other books that can help you deepen your knowledge of the Word of God. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.